Hey, Tom, you're our sales pro. Tell us about your podcast.
Do you have many boomers that are rebels?
Believe it or not, one of my first clients was a boomer.
All right, I want you to turn me into a rebel today.
I'm a Philly girl. I listen to Rocky, and I'm going up those stairs, man, and I could do anything.
And I came back from corporate, and I sat at the desk, and I actually had to do sales, and I was mortified.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today for OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales. I'm Kelly Bloomer.
And I'm Tom Bloomer.
OK, Tom, you're our sales pro. In 30 words or less, can you tell us about this podcast?
I'm going to try. You know, us salespeople like to talk, Kelly.
You sure do.
All right, 30 words or less.
Can you do it?
Well, if you're a sales pro and you're looking to grow in your sales career, if you like good, lively sales discussion, I think this is going to be a show for you. I've walked your walk for over 30 years in sales. I've knocked on the doors and overcome the same obstacles I think you may be facing as a seller, a sales manager, and as a VP of sales. I currently help assess, build, and train high-performing media sales teams. Well, Kel?
Yeah, you really went over 30 words. Okay, Tom, who's your boomer we're talking to today?
We got a special edition today, Kel.
Nice. What's it about this time?
Well, we're starting a new series.
Okay.
Do you notice what you have in front of you here?
Wine.
Yeah, a glass of wine. So cheers.
Cheers.
We're starting something you asked for months ago. Betsy's going to get a kick out of you and I drinking wine right now.
Is she?
Yeah, she just laughed when she heard it.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'm really excited. You came to me, well, first of all, you were the inspiration on us doing the podcast because you've been listening to podcasts, I don't know, since you were like 8 or 9.
Yeah, sure. For a while now.
For a long time.
Yes.
And you showed me which ones to listen to.
Right.
You showed me what you liked, gave me an idea of, okay, this is what we want to do together. And one of my favorite podcasts that you've shown me is, I don't know who it is, but it's three people just talking and just sharing.
Oh, the Joyce Meyer one, the Talk It Out one, where it's three women who are just basically sitting around their friends and just talking about whatever's going on. And they have such a good, not reputation, but such a good friendship that they're able to bounce things off of each other and talk and just be free with what they're saying.
It's just life.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And what I loved about, and I wasn't sure how we could do it with our show, but
right.
What I loved about it, it reminded me of back in the day when I'd be sitting down with a couple salespeople. And we'd be just sitting at a diner.
I thought that word diner was going to come up.
Just a great Jersey diner.
Right.
And we would just be talking sales. We'd be talking life. I overcame this. I ran into this problem. And you always left just enthused and ready to go conquer the day.
And probably with some ideas you never even thought of, too.
Absolutely. So I've wanted to do that.
Right.
And as you know, pretty much everything you tell me to do, I eventually come around to. It just takes a little time, right?
So true.
But here we are. We're kicking it off.
Okay.
We've got three ready to go. So this week, we've got a media sales.
Okay.
Barry Cohen.
Okay.
Pat Banks.
Okay.
And Betsy DeLisle.
Very nice.
We've got, and I'm not calling them boomers, although you'll hear in the episode, I do kind of throw them under the bus a little bit, but a lot of experience,
right?
And a lot of fun. You know, took a minute to get going,
right?
A couple more audio glitches. I'm going to blame some of the audio on the pandemic. Can I still get away with that, even though it's 2021?
Sure, why not?
But we get through it. Great
right.
content. We had a lot of fun. We had people in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, North Carolina. We were all over the spectrum. But it's a group. It's our first group discussion.
Okay.
It's really going to be for media salespeople. If you're in media sales, you're going to enjoy listening to Barry. He's got radio background. He's got PR background. Pat and Betsy, we've got some more radio. We've got billboard. We've got direct mail. Mm-hmm. A lot of really good discussion. And then next week, we come back, and it's one that you're going to love because you've met some of the people here locally. It's our In the Triangle. So we have leadership in the triangle for next week's discussion.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
And then coming in early July, we've got some LinkedIn stars. And I'm talking some real stars on LinkedIn, some major influencers, and we've got four of them in one discussion that I think we're going to have a lot of fun with.
This sounds very exciting.
So cheers.
Cheers.
And thank you for the inspiration, Kelly.
You're welcome. Let's listen.
Hey, this is Ryan from Cary, North Carolina. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
All right, gang. Hey, we are here with a very special Talk It Out segment. I'm really excited to do this one. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but when it comes to Okay, Boomer, this is kind of the show that I had in mind when we were first working on that. So I'm not saying anyone else is a boomer here besides me, but it's possible that you guys are at least approaching that at some point. So, but this is what it's all about. We have here combined, I'll just say 100+ years of media experience. We'll just start with that. Okay. But a lot of experience, and we want to share some of that with our listeners today, especially people that are relatively new into media sales, because we're going to focus this Talk It Out is really going to hone in on media sales. We have a variety of different experiences here from radio, billboard, direct mail. We have a little bit of everything that we're going to bring to the table today. In the house, we have Betsy Delisle, we have Pat Banks, and we have Barry Cohen. And as everybody heard in our intro, a lot of really good things that you guys are going to share. So we're ready to go. You guys ready to talk it out?
You bet.
Definitely.
All right. Hey, let's hear some of that enthusiasm, right, that we know is important in media sales.
Woohoo! Okay.
Hey. I'm sure none of you walked into a new account and they were dying to talk to somebody about buying media, right? So we better be excited when we walk in the door. And we better kind of find out who we're talking to and maybe what their hot buttons are, right, Betsy? You want to tell us a little bit about why that's important?
Yes. I think finding out someone's hot button and building your credibility is step number one when you walk in that door. Because like you said, Tom, they're not always welcoming you with open arms. So whatever you can do to break that ice. And many times that's going to be relating to something of their business at first. So it may change if you have an appointment or if you don't have an appointment. But I always feel that finding out about that specific customer, a little bit about them, what turns them on, what gets them excited, whether it be their business, which if it's a cold call, that's probably what you're going to hone in on. But if you have an appointment, it might be first finding out a little bit about what they do and their personal life, which you can do by taking a quick scan, maybe around their office, try and touch in on something that might be of interest to them. And in today's world, we have to be particularly careful on what topics we bring up, but many times you might be able to see something there that will get you excited about who they are and what they do.
You know, if I could jump in, Betsy, that's a great intro, because I remember so many times on the ad agency side, having media reps from the radio business come in to talk to me, and the first words out of their mouth were about what, you know, how many 25 to 54 year olds they reach, or how high their antenna height is. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, my agency happens to deal primarily with 55 plus, but you didn't bother to find that out first. Great point.
Right.
Yeah, I want to say something too. I mean, that is, I was on the ad agency side for a while too. And the first thing out of their mouths would be that, Barry, or else they would say, well, where are you advertising? You know, before asking me anything about, you know, what my goals were or the business. So that's a great point.
So let me ask you, Betsy, do you like wine?
I love wine, obviously. Yes, I do.
I got to ask you, I got some really cool things here I want to show you. But first, I got to ask you, you know, you've got some really unique wines behind you. Where do you go? Is there a good, I'm relatively new to this area. Is there a favorite winery you like to go to?
My favorite thing is just to buy something that is from our country. You know, I think that I'm passionate about, you know, the environment, and let's not travel too far, have it shipped in too far from overseas and support our country. So I'm going to be local. And I think you just kind of clicked in there in exactly what I was talking about, of seeing something in someone's office that you can tell they might be passionate about. Yep. And then the next key is when they're excited about that, because they love this topic, you just have to be cautious to bring them back to what you're there to accomplish also. So first building that rapport, building that credibility, and then being able to bring them back to what you want to talk about and to accomplish in that moment.
And that's about asking the right questions, mm-hmm. you know, about what their goals are, short term, long term, you know, lots of different things about the demographics they want to reach and, you know, where are their customers coming from? Where do they want their customers coming from? Like, there's a lot of great questions, you know, that you can ask, and you can find a problem or an opportunity that hopefully you can solve.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Betsy, you like to talk about looking for those cracks or those opportunities just to kind of keep moving the sale along, right?
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, whether you're noticing things on their wall, for anybody who's just listening to the podcast, they may not have realized that you have this beautiful wine collection right behind you. So that was actually kind of an easy one. Sometimes it's a little bit tougher when we walk into it to a new business. But what are some of the ways that you're looking for those opportunities, Betsy? Maybe the call today didn't go well, and you're just looking for that little crack where you can keep the door open for follow-up.
I think an opportunity is, you know, when you talk about their business, where are they looking to go? What is the thing that they are trying to draw in? And what's special about their business? What sets you business owner, apart from the other people that are in the same industry as you are? And you mentioned something else of walking into a minefield, you know, and this can happen to you as an account executive anytime. You can walk into a business and unknowingly they may have just, you know, bombed on an ad somewhere else. They're just, you know, not in a great place. And I kind of like to bring one example that happened to me, Tom, was a time when I went in, actually it was to collect money. It wasn't even my account, but this could happen anytime. And they said to me, you know what, get out, your ads don't work. The reason I haven't paid is because I got no response at all.
I've never heard that, Betsy.
Yeah, but please, I know, honestly, I'm sure no one has ever heard this.
Never.
And so I said, okay, you know, hold up here. obviously we want our money and you want results, but you know, when I was honest, I said, I looked at your ad. I knew what he had done prior. And I said, honestly, I don't feel that represented who you are. The company itself, it was a waterproofing company. Remember it specifically. And, you know, they have this horrible looking mold growing in their ad. Okay. So because, you know, if you have water problems, therein lies mold issues. However, no one really wants to look at something like that. It's kind of, you know, disgusting. And so I said, you know what? I need to know about your business. And I said, pretend that I'm a customer. I'm just going to sit down here if you got a couple of minutes and I'll pretend that I'm the customer and you sell me. And that was the beginning of a long and successful relationship, because then I kind of got on his level a bit.
You know, if I could just build on what Betsy just said, one of the things that always irked me was the fact that, you know, people had come into the radio business that I was in, and the business would teach people how to sell, and if they know sales background, and it would teach them how to sell their medium, but it didn't teach them how to make advertising work. The attitude was, you know, that's the agency's job. But the reality is that a good media salesperson has got to understand how to make advertising work, to your point. And if you don't, you're just going to be churning and burning clients forever, because people are not going to get results and they're not going to come back. If, on the other hand, you show them how to make it work and work well, you're going to have that base and you're going to keep building on that base and you're going to get the referrals that you want and need.
Yep. Well, I think another good point to that is setting expectations. I think many times media reps set the expectations way too high. And one of the things that I always did when I was sitting with a customer and we were working on an ad, or and they were going to buy from me, whether it was a radio commercial or a direct mail ad or a postcard, you know, okay, so what are your, you know, what's the offer? What's the call to action? And then what are your expectations? Like, what do you expect to get from this? And many times the customer's expectations were too high. And you have to bring them down to earth a little bit.
Pat, good point. If I can add to that, the other problem with that is that oftentimes the customer is shortchanging themselves and the media. I'll give you an example. So they place an ad, they get X response initially, but they're not looking at the lifetime value of each customer, and how they should be evaluating it is just that. So let's say, for example, you know, you're running an ad for a nutritional supplement, right? That's a weight loss product. Well, you run the ad and 50 people call and, you know, 30 of them buy. But how many times did they continue to buy? And the reality is, if you were to track them properly, you'd find out that you made your money back many times over.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, that just made me think of a funny story. I had a client, he was a chiropractor. And this was a direct mail, and he did a full page ad, and it was a lot of money for him to spend. I think it was $1,800 he spent for the ad. It was a beautiful ad. And when I went back a few weeks later to check on it, he said, well, I got about 20 calls, but I only got 3 patients. He said, that wasn't worth it. And I said, hold on a minute. I said, what's a patient worth to you over a lifetime, you know, how long, you know, and he already had that figured out. And he said $20,000. And I said, well, okay then. And he's like, well, I guess it was worth it. And he bought another full page ad. So.
And to me, one of the keys there, and you see this, the difference between really strong sellers and people who struggle a little bit. If you're having that conversation up front on what their expectations are, you can really understand where they're at. You can have a good, just a good understanding of, hey, you know, this isn't really reasonable. Here's what you should expect. Here's what most people see. When you're walking in at the end and they're already disappointed, now you just sound kind of salesy. Okay, well, you know, you should have told me up front this was going to happen. So, you know, great points. And I think it's key that we try to have some of those up front with customers when we can.
Yeah, you know, exactly. There's a process there where you can kind of almost reverse engineer this. You know, for example, you go into a furniture store and they're going to run a campaign for a month, and you figure out how much that campaign should cost them, right? And then you ask them, well, what's your average unit of sale, right? So the campaign is going to cost them $10,000 for a month. Well, their average unit of sale is $2,000, right? Well, what's your closing ratio? 3 out of 4 people that walk in the door. Okay. And how many do you need to come in the door in order to cover that? And then what's your margin? And you can actually figure out how many people they need in order for that to pay off and before it becomes profitable.
So just good data to have. It's also a good discussion. And it goes back to something Betsy said in the beginning, when you're talking to that business owner about things that are going to be important to them, they're going to be more into it. That's kind of a hot button. You would think a hot button for a client is, hey, am I going to get my return on this investment? You know, how's that going to work? And it really segues well, Pat, into one of the things I know you really wanted to talk about today, which is rate integrity. And, you know, a lot of our sellers, they're not selling for the most inexpensive product out there. Right. So, you know, when you're selling something that's a little bit on the high end, you better be able to show that value, Pat. Why is that such a hot button for you?
Well, it's a hot button for me because I spent 10 years at Cooper Magazine as the, what did they call me, Tom? The rate police?
Yeah, well, we had a lot of names for it, but that was probably the official one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the rate. But yes, all the places I worked, I had the most expensive product to sell. So, you know, my question is, how do you face, as a media rep, how do you face rate reluctance head on? You know, what do you do to overcome, you know, you have the most expensive product in a sea of products that are, you know, less expensive than you? And how do you provide the value so that somebody is willing to pay more? And it always astonished me those years that I was in charge of rate that I would deny an ad. You know, somebody would sell a half page for $400 and I'd say, we're not doing that. No, that's all they'll pay, the rep would say. And if I go back, I'll lose the sale. And, you know, and I'd say, no, you know, let's talk about the customer. Let's tell me what the customer's trying to accomplish? What is the offer you're going to put in the ad? You know, what are the customer's expectations? Now, here's what you go back, and here's the value that your product is bringing. And I would tell them exactly how, you know, to put it into words to the customer. And it was hard to go back and say the rate was, you know, I can't charge you $400 for a half page. It was denied at corporate. But do you know what? And Tom, you know this, many times those ads came back at a much higher rate. And it wasn't the customer that wasn't willing to pay the rate. It was the rep that was unwilling to show the rate card or to say the rate. They wanted the sale so badly that they just dropped to the bottom line immediately without even trying, you know, to stay on rate card. And Betsy, I know this was one of, you know, your pet peeves also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can really, yes, Pat, I can totally relate, because I think it is so much easier to go ahead and present the rate card and to hold your line initially than to have to go back and go through yes. what you did when you would tell them. And I used to say to, you know, many salespeople, and I learned this myself throughout my own career, was, you know, that's where going in with confidence about
yes.
your product. And you're not necessarily going to be the same price. But honestly, they're also paying for you. And for you as a salesperson, your service and what you are going to bring to the table to them, that, you know, if they call you, you're going to be there for them. You're going to answer that call and you're going to give them honest answers. And I think that is important to someone. And it's also important that they see you basically hold the line. You know, nothing makes me more questioning, let's say, of a company is if they do, you know, whittle away at the price. If you start out with one price and they're able to get, you know, keep getting more discounts. Now, if you can justify a discount because they're buying more issues or more times, you know, that's one thing. But just to let them continue to get a discount does not lend, you know, credibility to the product. I mean, I can't say how many times that especially when times were tough, that they would say, well, everybody is discounting for me. You know, they're bringing their prices down. They're bringing their prices down. And I would say, you know, I've always given you the best price that I could. I'm not sure how it makes you feel now that, you know, they're able to continue to lower that price. Did you have the best price initially? Right. You know?
So, yeah.
There's a little bit of
subtle jab there. I like that.
You know, fortunately in broadcast, when the economy was good, everything was sold on supply and demand, and you couldn't add minutes to the hour. So you could justify, you know, rates based on the fact that there just isn't any more availability. However, as we know, there's always going to be somebody in the marketplace who is going to, pardon the expression, whore their rates. And so, you know, it comes back to what both of you were saying, Bessie and Pat, about, you know, confidence and value. One of the things that we used to do is, fortunately, we had good data in broadcast. We could go back and we could sell based on qualitative, right? So in other words, I could say, well, yes, you know, Z100 might reach 2 million people and my station only reaches 1 million, but they don't buy your cars, sir. My audience buys your Cadillacs. And so we, you know, we would use qualitative. We also could use what we called exclusive Hume, which meant, well, you know what? This station is the only one in the marketplace that actually delivers this audience. You know, maybe it's a Christian station and you're just not getting that audience if you're not buying that station. So there are other ways to sell around the rate issue, you know, quality versus quantity.
Yep.
There's also times that you're not going to get everyone.
And right.
You find that there are times that you will have to walk away. And honestly, those are usually the people that would be the biggest pain to begin with. You know, if something happens, they want something free. So, you know, sometimes it's okay to walk. And, you know, and it doesn't mean that you can't go back on another day. But, you know, I love Stephen Covey. If anybody ever reads him, and, you know, unfortunately he's passed away at this point. But one of his things that he would always talk about was win-win or no deal. And I always felt that was important. If we can't both be winners here, then we can agree not to necessarily have a deal at this point. And I think you'll get a lot more respect from a buyer if it's done in this manner, because it allows you to both have dignity and respect at the end so that you can come back with a new idea or something new credible if you happen to have to leave because of a rate situation.
Right. And there may be another way to sidestep as well, to say, look, you know, we understand you can't afford that full page right now. We understand that you can't afford the cover, the inside back cover, right? Or we understand you can't afford morning drive on the radio or primetime TV at night. So let's start with something that you can afford. And as you continue to gain results and traction, then we'll move you into that more pricey area.
And many times they think they can't afford something, but they can afford it, you know, and that's where when you really ask the right questions and you find out, to your earlier point, Barry, about what a customer's worth to them, you know, what will you get out of a customer over the lifetime? You know, then there is value in that, and you bring the value and you say, so if you're paying, you know, $1,500 for an ad, you know, how many customers do you need to pay for that? But don't only think of the customers coming in once, think of them coming over in time after time after time. And guess what? The return on investment, ultimately, you are going to be able to afford that ad.
Goes back to what you've all been talking about, which is that building that value, right? So to me, the cost is doesn't matter if you've built that value up front, if you're showing them how it's going to work and things like that. And Betsy, to your win-win, I think a good sales rep understands you're going to feel a lot better walking away when you have to than if you're just constantly, you know, lowering your price, and just, you're going to lose confidence too in your product. And I think what I'm hearing from all three of you too, though, is if you're going to get good value, you better believe in your product. You know, as Barry, you better
know,
I've got the perfect network to put them on. I've got the perfect time of day, or I've got the perfect ad for them. When you're confident in it, you're going to get those better prices.
Well, Tom, put it this way. Bottom line, the only expensive ad is the one that doesn't work, right? The cheap ad is the one that works no matter what you paid for it.
Yeah.
And I've actually had customers, you know, I spent, as you, Tom, and as you, Betsy, I spent years going all around the country riding with reps. And I actually had customers say to me from time to time that one of the reasons they ultimately decided to sign on the dotted line was because of my confidence in my product. You know, if I was that excited and enthusiastic and confident in talking to them, then it made them confident and excited and enthusiastic.
And so, you know, Tom, I want to address from all we've been talking about a little bit, your listeners that you feel are newer in sales or younger. And I think this is so important. If you are right now selling with a company that you don't totally believe in the product, it's really time for you to rethink, or it doesn't connect with you almost on a personal level where you're selling. And maybe it's time to move to something that is more aligned with what you believe in and is successful. Because that's just key, going to be key to your success also in the long run.
Mm-hmm. You have to feel really good, I think, when you put your head on your pillow every night, because you have to wake up. In sales, we have to be on every day. If you're not confident in feeling it, boy, you're gonna have a hard time being on every day when you go through it. And I've got to ask, Barry, I know one of the things that you talk about, you know, we're talking rate, we're getting in front of that customer. You're talking about the different networks, the different times. How do you handle it when the customer you're talking to, they kind of think they know your business a little bit better than you do, right? How do you overcome those type of things?
I'll give you an example. I had a doctor who felt that he knew how to do the radio buy better than I did. And I literally had to just cut him right off and say, doctor, this is my operating room. And he got very quiet and he let me proceed. There are times when you have to take the bull by the horns, right? And know, again, it's about the confidence that you know what you're doing. You know, I had one client that had kind of been sold a bill of goods by somebody that came in and told them they could do it better. And in fact, they weren't getting results. And midway through the campaign, he stopped and he turned it back over to me, and we improved the results. You know, you just plain have to assert yourself in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that assertiveness is critical. It's okay to be a little confrontational. I think most business owners, and all three of you have been on the other side of the desk as well, right? Don't you kind of appreciate when that person stands up confidently and asserts themselves?
Definitely.
Absolutely. I have a kind of a funny story. I was riding with a rep, and a piano store had, you know, wanted to buy a full page ad, and they wanted to pay $1,000 for it. And absolutely, that was way, way below rate card. And, I was not going to do a $1,000 ad. And the guy was just hammering me about this $1,000.
Pianos are pretty inexpensive, right? There's no margin on them.
Yeah. And there was a beautiful baby grand piano sitting right there. And I said, you know, I've been in the market for one of those. And I said, what does that cost? And he said, well, it's $25,000. And I said, yeah, okay. I said, well, what does it cost you? And I forget exactly what he said, but let's say he said $10,000. And I said, okay, I'll give you $11,000 if you can ship it to my house. And he said, I can't do that. I said, well, why? He said, well, like, that's like lower than my whole cost. And I just shut up and I didn't say a word. And I just looked at him and he goes, oh, you're saying $1,000, you wouldn't make any money on that ad. I said, bingo. And guess what? He ended up, he didn't pay rate card, but he paid very close to it. And it was just, they're business people, your customers. You know, they're in business for a reason. You know, there are those that really shouldn't be in business and don't understand, but most of them do. And if you know, again, that was a bit confrontational what I did there, but it worked. And, you know, you talk on their level, you know, most of them will be reasonable.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, media reps often don't understand the business person's point of view. And you need to understand what their costs are, what their margins are. You know, right. You walk into the furniture store and you say, oh, that's a $1,000 couch. He must have paid $500 for it. He's making $500. No, he's not. He has to pay for the warehouse. He has to pay for the shipping. He has to pay for the advertising. He has to pay for the salesperson's commission. And in reality, he's making $100 on that $1,000 couch. And we have to put ourselves in their shoes as well.
Yep. And that's where the really good reps are spending the time understanding. So, because whatever you're selling, especially in media, what are there, maybe four dozen industry or types of business that most of us are talking to every day? I'll probably know more than maybe two dozen that are right in our wheelhouse that we're selling on a regular basis. Barry, whether it's radio, I'm sure you had specific type industry that you really focused on. I know in our print magazines, there were certain ones that we really focused on. A good rep's going to take the time to learn and ask a lot of questions to really understand that. And then it goes back to kind of the hot button, right? There's nothing better, Betsy, than walking into that business, seeing what their display is, watching to see what they're advertising, and then being able to talk to them about it in their language, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. And yet without sounding as if you think you know more than they do.
Because we're in their operating room at that point, right?
Exactly. <Right. laughs>
And I think that's where just good probing questions comes in. You know, where you kind of think you know the answer, but let me get them to actually say it. Let me ask the right questions to get them talking about it and
right.
moving along.
But again, prescribing without diagnosing is malpractice.
Oh, man. You're also, do you have another podcast later today in the medical industry, Barry?
Hey, listeners, it's Kelly Bloomer here to tell you the show is brought to you by Bloomer Associates. If you visit our website found in your show notes, you'll find we offer sales training, talent assessment for hiring and team development, and individual coaching for sales pros and managers. We bring over 30 years in media sales and leadership experience. If you enjoy listening to OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales, ask how our team can work with your sales team for virtual meetings, roundtables, and motivational seminars. You can contact us through our website or call today, 919-267-8255. 9871. Now back to our show.
You know what? Let me talk to something that's really important in today's world. A lot of our media sales reps are experiencing it, and they have for a while. And Betsy and Pat, I know you'll chuckle at this. You know, how long ago did they tell us the print was dying? Right? We heard that, what, maybe 2002, 2003. Yeah. But luckily, you know, we didn't sell our home and look for another industry. I didn't all of a sudden decide to sell cars. I stayed in print for a long time, and it's still effective today. Okay. I still talk to people every day. They're getting as good a return on investment from print as they are from pretty much anything else. But what do you hear every day when you go in front of that business? You hear digital, you hear social media, you hear internet. How does a print veteran or a radio veteran kind of deal with that? How do you get it back on track?
Yeah, let me jump in on that for a minute. I wrote an article for Radio Inc. magazine with this title, Radio, the Original Social Medium, because it was, in fact, you know, it's always been interactive. People have always interacted with their radio hosts. The stations always invited their audiences to participate in their live events as well as their on air. So in fact, it is social media.
Yep. You know, it's funny. I was just away for a weekend with my kids, and my wife and daughter were talking about, and I think it's Preston and Steve. What's the group out of the two guys out of Philadelphia, I think. But, you know, they remembered when that network dropped them and they had to switch. So people really were invested in that.
And many times, and this would always shock customers, you know, when they'd say, well, you know, digital's really becoming important in social media and I need to spend money there. And I would say, sure, you know, you should try that, you know, do it. But don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, why would you, if you're getting a return on investment from your print ads or your radio commercials, why would you, you know, throw that down the drain? You know, add to your budget. Don't take away from your budget. You know, find a way to add to your budget to try social media or some kind of, you know, Google AdWords or whatever.
Right,
Betsy, I don't know if you ran into that.
Sorry, the reality is
about creativity, being creative. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about integrative campaigns. It's about integrating your traditional with your digital and social.
Yes.
You know, I mean, every time you turn the nightly news on, they're telling you, you know, to go to their Twitter feed, or they're showing you cell phone video from somebody. So it's a matter of, you know, integrating your traditional and your digital.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I'm convinced a lot of internet leads come from some of the print ads, you know, that we ran. Somebody would be going through, they see something. Even now, you know, if my wife and I are going to go try a new restaurant, we may see an ad for it. Next step, we're looking at it on our phone, looking at the menu, seeing what wines they have or whatever, and then we go to it. So it really is, you have to have both of those things covered.
Well, you know, Tom, you're talking about something that I speak to all the time. It's in the book as well. And that's about the phenomenon of last reference. You know, when you ask that customer, you know, how did you hear about me, right? And that's what most business people do. The reality is that they're not really getting a good readout. There's a phenomenon called last reference. So let's take the travel industry. Maybe you only travel once a year on vacation. So you don't have a relationship with a travel agent. Right. Well, you open your Yellow Pages in the old days, or you go online today and you see the very prominent ad for Liberty Travel. So you go to them. But the reality is that you've been seeing all their advertising for the whole year. Right. But when they ask you, well, how did you get to us? You just mentioned the last thing you saw.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's that trust, right? You're building that trust over time. So it's just not something that we've never heard of. Not somebody new. I don't know anything about. So, excellent.
But the reality is they're not getting attribution for all the other media exposures, to your point.
Well, there was a study done when I was in the shopping center industry, and I was at an agency. We were at a big advertising conference in Toronto, and they did a study. And what they did is they created a bogus product, and they ran radio ads, okay? Ton of radio ads. And I think it was somewhere in Canada. And then they did a survey, and they would ask people if they were familiar with this particular product. And the people, many of them, most of them would say yes. And then they'd say, well, where did you hear about it? And 95% of them said in the newspaper, and it wasn't even in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that was interesting what you just said, because it is absolutely true.
Good point. Yeah. Especially with electronic media, because it's intangible as opposed to you walk in the door with.
Right.
All right, gang. We had a number of people have submitted some questions for this particular group. They were very excited for this Talk It Out. I selected one question. We'll get to a second if we have enough time. But this was submitted out of Philadelphia by Jane Swain. Really good question. Talking about, as a seller, how do you kind of find your way into the right spot? You know, Betsy, you talked a few minutes ago, if you're not feeling the product or service, maybe you're not selling for the right company. But there are a lot of different roles for sellers, right, in organizations. How does a seller kind of know, all right, this is my wheelhouse. I found the perfect role. This is what I should be doing in this organization. Anybody have anything you can offer?
Well, I've
a number of salespeople over the years. How did you kind of help them to find out how to be as successful as they could be?
Well, you know, I know that in print business, I had some reps that were really not finding success at selling the print ads in the magazine. They weren't really excited about it. I just don't think they had a lot of confidence in it, but they went to our specialty products and they started selling postcards. And they were so excited about selling these postcards or menus or inserts, and they did extremely well. I mean, I can remember one rep that was on the verge of being terminated, and 3 years later, he's one of the top reps in the country just selling our specialty products. So I always say, you know, it's to what Betsy said, if you're not excited, or Jane, to you, Jane, who's asked the question, if you're not excited about the product you're selling, then if the company has other products, try to go to that. If not, then probably it's time to switch companies, because you need to be A, confident in your product, but B, you really need to be excited and passionate about selling it. And if you're not passionate, then you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Interesting question. Interesting point, Pat. When I worked at WOR Radio, one thing that they did was they allowed us to specialize in a category. So for example, in my case, it was the financials. You know, we had different talk show hosts that each addressed different areas. So there was a food show, there was a, you know, a financial show, et cetera. So I, you know, teamed up with the financial show hosts, and that way, you know, you could find a fit, so to speak. You'd find something that you were passionate about.
That's such a great point. Go ahead, Betsy.
Well, I'm just going to take a little bit different tangent. I think sometimes when you're questioning and you're not totally sure, but you feel that this is an area that you do love and you are passionate about, let's say you do believe in the product, you know, and maybe it is a point of building more confidence. And I think of, you know, maybe, you know, listening to these podcasts so that you can start to build your confidence. And, you know, it's, I just saw a show where, you know, they talked, I guess it was maybe American Idol, and they said, well, you know, how do you jazz yourself up? Do you still get nervous? Are you still nervous before you go on a call or make a concert? And, you know, a call is almost like the same thing. Sometimes we have to find what gets us excited and what gets us really pumped up for that. And once you have that, you know, whether it's certain music that you put on, whether it's a podcast that you listen to, and or knowing the product, you know, reading a book, maybe, you know, Barry's book or something like that, as you build that enthusiasm and that confidence, I think, you know, and sometimes we have highs and lows, you know, when you're selling and things are good, you know, you're riding that high. That's the time to make that extra call at the end of the day. Just keep going because you're on it. So sometimes we're going to have those ebbs and flows in sales. And we just need to learn how to surf that wave and you know, ride it to its end. So, you know, just finding your bliss, let's say.
and it does make a difference. You know, we've all worked with those reps to both your points, that they really kind of hit a particular industry or type of business. And boy, the confidence was great. You know, you'd open up one of our magazines in an area and they had every good bagel store, you know, within 20 miles because they knew how to talk. They had some success. The rep was really good at those. You'd have some magazines, you couldn't find a car wash anywhere, right? They could not sell a car wash. And then you'd look at another book and they had every good car wash in town. And, you know, some people were good with restaurants. Some people were good with retail, home improvement. It's really so important as they go in. But Barry, also, I don't know if you noticed, I think you need to talk to Betsy a little bit about the world of PR. She got me 2 good podcast plugs in there. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
Good job, Betsy.
Well done.
Yeah. Hey guys, any last minute thoughts, anything you want to cover? This has been a lot of fun for me. I hope for all of you and our listeners, as we've been talking it out with media sales, any last minute thought?
Encourage everybody that's out there to, you know, just enjoy every day and what you do. And when the sun is shining, you know, just enjoy every moment out there.
You know what? I would just say this, just know that your job is to help other people sell their stuff, not to sell your stuff. And if you're coming at it from that perspective, you're going to succeed.
Yes, especially now coming out of a pandemic, it's more important than ever that we help our small business owners. And I think that will make every seller out there in media sales, as you're helping them to bring their business back from where it, you know, tanked, that you will go to sleep at night, as Betsy said, feeling very good about what you do.
Fantastic. If each of our listeners wakes up tomorrow morning enthused, excited, feeling good about what they're doing, they're going to have a very successful day. So Betsy, Pat, Barry, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks again. And I hope to see you guys soon.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week, and don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure, the website, okboomerteachmesales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn @Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.